This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
So anyway, well, good. We're excited you're here this morning, and so many good things happening, and we just want to encourage you with that. And I want to share with you this morning just something I've entitled, something God's laid on my heart for the last few weeks, and you'll hear about that, but I'm simply calling it stretch. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to stretch, right? You ever know, like, they're always like, hey, especially when you get older, they say how more important it is to stretch before you do something. And I'm always like, nah, I don't need to do that, right? Like, that's all, right? And then I end up at the physical therapist office, right? And they're like, did you stretch? I'm like, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, you know, because I'm going to save face, right? I don't want to lie. So I just lie. Yeah, I did. But, you know. But nobody likes to stretch. But how many of you know stretch is not fun? Stretch is not fun, but it's beneficial. Like, it actually is beneficial to your life. And November is like this month we enter in, and we've been focused on so many other things. But really, when you get to November, right, you're bombarded with giving and giving thanks and so much focus on other things. The idea to take the focus off yourselves. In a few weeks, maybe you're going to sit around a table and you're going to talk about what you're thankful for. And it removes that idea of self. But yet sometimes the idea of giving, the idea of giving thanks, the idea of taking focus off ourselves is a stretch. And so maybe some of your mornings start like this. Let's just give you a couple examples. Maybe it starts like this. Alarm goes off. You reach out, you grab your phone, and you hit snooze, right? Come on. What is 9 more minutes of sleep? Doesn't hurt anybody, right? It's great. I did it this morning. I don't normally do it, but I did it this morning. You hit snooze, but the problem is you hit snooze 4 more times, all right? So kind of adds up. Then your eyes open, and now you're already behind schedule. You already know that, but first, before you get out of bed, you have to first check the news, the Facebook, the email, the text messages, who won the election Wednesday night, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then before you ever even do that, while you're doing that, you make this mental note to yourself, like, this bed is really uncomfortable. Like, I need a newer bed. Like, newer sheets, newer pillow, maybe newer spouse. No, that's a joke. No. That's not godly. Maybe we should say that you just need a spouse. How about that, all right? So you think about all those things, right? They're running through your head. And you're like, you're thinking to yourself, like, man, also this, while you're on your phone, you're like, man, this phone's getting older. I know there's a newer one out there. It's faster, it's nicer, it's more features. I need that. And then before, while you're even laying there thinking about that, you haven't even got out of bed yet, you're thinking to yourself, man, I really need a vacation. And so you say, well, while I'm here, I might as well look at some Airbnbs and some really tropical locations. And by the end of it, you're sitting there laying there, and you maybe it's not looks exactly like that, but it's somewhere that creeps in from time to time where you just is like, man, I wish my life was better. Like, my life's just not great. It's not fun. I got to get up. I got to go to work. I don't like my job. I don't like all these things. But then, so all before, this all enters your mind before you even get out of bed. And now you're running late, so you run into your closet, packed full of clothes, some of them with the tags still on them. And you're like, you throw up your hands in panic and you complain loudly, I have nothing to wear, right? I got nothing to wear. So after showering, blow drying, skincare, shaving, dressing, and judging yourself in the mirror, now it's time to leave. But you just can't leave because you need coffee. But who drinks coffee from home, right? Nobody does that. So you're running late, but how many know there's a coffee shop on the way to where you're going? And so you can make time for that. So you find your way to spend that $7 on that triple foam peppermint mocha latte, right? And you get that, and then now you're driving and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, this car is a piece of junk. Like, the gas mileage is bad, the seats aren't heated. Come on, how many of you know we need heated seats in our world today? You know, I need new tires. Like, there's not enough room in this thing for me. And while you're at the stoplight, you look over and you're like, wow, that's a nice truck. Like, I could justify having that truck right now. Like, I need an upgrade in my life. It would only take me 6 years to pay this new one off. Only. That's it. And all this stuff, I wish I had. And you say to yourself, it would be a stretch, but I can do it. It'd be a stretch. And I want to talk to us today as we move into this November month, that maybe something that I can encourage you with in the midst of all where your mind is going and all you're thinking about in 2024, and especially as we enter into the holiday season, I would want to encourage you with this. Maybe you and I need to simply do this. We need to simplify our lives. Like, just simplify your life. Like, we are overcomplicated, overcommitted, overextended, overwhelmed. And many of us are not experiencing the joy that God has for us. And it's simply because we're overwhelmed, overcommitted, overextended, overwhelmed. And like a famous theologian once said, simply this, I believe purity of heart is to will one thing. Purity of heart is to will one thing. And how many know it is very hard to will one thing, to narrow it all down, to live a life where your will is one thing. Like, your goal is one thing. Now, this isn't the message like we enjoy to hear. Like, don't we all just want to take some of us want to take victory laps right now? And, you know, we just want to, like, can't we just be yah, yah, rah, rah? But I'm telling you, CLC, from my chair as a lead pastor, we need to be stretched in some areas of our lives. We need to be stretched. And I want to give you a challenge that I personally have been sitting on for weeks. But I believe that God's been challenging me to give this to you, to talk to you as a church and as Christians today. Like, there has been this phrase that's been echoing, this idea of simplify your life that's been echoing in my spirit for months. And I want to encourage you that making our pursuit about something greater than what this world has to offer. We're pursuing so many things because what the world always says is this. Boom, more. Just more. You got to have more. More followers, more influence, more square feet, more horsepower, more extracurricular activities, more toys, more stuff, more friends, more opinions, more, and more. And in the famous words of Baruch Salt from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I don't care how, I want it now. I want it now. And that's the world that we live in today. And the stretch is, when the world is trying to compile more in your life, God is saying to us, simplify your life. Simplify your life. God is saying, I've got so much more for your life, so much more I want to do with you and use you in, but you have to simplify your life. So John writes this to us in 1 John chapter 2. He writes this like admonishment to us. And he starts it out in verse 15. He says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. So he's not talking about like don't love the planet, don't love the plants. He's not saying don't love the mountains or the environment. Rather, he's talking about the cravings of this world. Like, you can't love the cravings of this world. And so this passage means if you have a craving for more of the stuff of this world, it's because you're lacking some of the love of the Father. Because if you really experience God's love and you really want that in your life, then you wouldn't need all the other things that the world has to offer. And John goes on and writes, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but it comes from out of this world. So everything, your desires, how many know every advertisement goes through these three things? Like every commercial tries to hit on these three things. Every sale tactic tries to hit on these three things. The lust of the flesh. You know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And John goes on to write, finish it, and he says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And that should be our goal, right? As Christians, is to, like, I want to live out the will of God for my life. Because he absolutely has a will for your life, and we should want to live that out. So let me quickly tell you, what are these three things that John outlines to us? Well, he tells us, for he calls it the lust of the flesh. Well, the lust of the flesh are what we call internal cravings and addictions. Like, it's that craving for more that you think will satisfy us, that it will satisfy our flesh. But how many of you know those cravings and those satisfaction, those lusts of the flesh, they actually drive us away from God. This lust of the flesh is basically, it's sin. It's instead of craving, how can I be more for God for my life? It's like, well, I'm going to pursue all these other things because those things will satisfy me. Then he talks about the lust of the eyes. Well, the lust of the eyes are external desires, envy, and materialism. Like, it's about like, look at, man, look, I have a boat, but they have a nicer boat. Right? Or like, man, I have a home, but boy, their house is way nicer. Like, some of you just bought a home and you're already on Zillow looking at other homes, right? This is the way we do it. It's like the lust of the eyes. It's materialism. And then he says the pride of life. Well, the pride of life is this pursuit for status, position, and recognition. Like, I've got to have people know who I am. Like, I need to be seen. I need to be heard. I need to be followed. And man, I'm going to tell you that, if there's one thing that's so rampant in the church of 2024, it's that. Like, we all feel like, well, I need to be seen. I need to be heard. I need to be followed. I have a voice because I'm an American, by the way. And it's this pursuit for these things. And all three of these things are the things that are bombarding our lives today. Theologian Kierkegaard, he was an awesome theologian, and he said it this way. You got to get this morning. He said, riches and abundance come hypocritically clad in sheep's clothing, pretending to be security against anxieties, and they become then the object of anxiety. Like, in other words, maybe you've seen this in your life before, but the very things that you crave and the very things that you pursue after become the things that you're most anxious about. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. This morning, I didn't wake up worried about my boat. Like, I wasn't frustrated about it. I wasn't thinking about this morning about my boat and it's broken down and how am I going to repair it. I'm not even thinking about where I'm going to store my boat for the winter or how much it's going to cost me to store it there. And do you know why I'm not worried about any of those things? Because I don't have a boat. I don't have a boat. And listen, it's freeing not to have a boat, right? And now I'm not against boats. Like, if you have a boat, hit your pastor up, all right? Let's hang out, right? I'm all for it. I'm not anti-boat. But just understand the very things that we care about, the very things that you are more into are the things that usually you're the most anxious about. And many times those things you pursue are things of the world. And you finally get them, you think that's what's going to help you, and now you're trying to take care of all those random things. And the Word of God says to us today, you know what? Simplify your life. Simplify your life. We are pursuing so many things that hinder the resources that God wants to use you in. You have so many things He's equipped you with and resources He's given you that He wants to use you in for His glory and for His church. So let me give you a definition, my definition of simplicity. This is what I think it is. Simplicity is an inward contentment that leads to outward conviction. It's an inward contentment that leads to outward convictions. And this is a challenge that God keeps giving me personally. He keeps giving for my life. I think He's asking us today, in this world we live in, will you be content in me? Will you be content in God? And if you are, will you let it drive you to some outward convictions? Like, I'm not talking about commandments, and I'm not talking about rules. I'm not talking about legalism, like, well, I can't buy this or I can buy that. No, that's not what I'm talking. No, I'm saying it's an inward contentment. It says, if I never get those things, I'm satisfied with God. If God never blesses me beyond what I already have, I'm still satisfied with Him. If I never get the nicer house, I'm still satisfied in God, and I still trust Him. If I never get the nicer car, I'm still satisfied because God is with me. If my bank account never overflows, I'm still satisfied to God, and I still know that He provides, simply because my life is not defined by those things. It's not defined by those things. It's defined by what God has for my life. And here's what we need to understand this morning. If you're taking notes, write this down. Get this morning. You understand it. If you don't define what your life is about, culture will. If you don't define it, because you know what? Culture's already defining it. It's already defining your life. They will define your life. Culture will tell you what to pursue, what you need to go after, what is acceptable. Like you ever know today, you can't even think about buying something and an ad pops up on your phone. You ever notice that? Like, you can't even think about it. And you're like, whoa, how did it know? It's weird. The world is really sneaky about making sure that you are drawn away from what God has for your life. Absolutely. The system of this world wants you to put you and I on this rat race that will eventually end in our destruction. So it puts us on this race. How do I acquire more? How do I get more, right? And it tells you and I that our view of God and our view of faith needs to be casual. Because by the way, isn't He just like this really good God that just up in heaven that just loves us all with a big smile on His face all the time? I mean, that's the casual view of who God is. And we see it. Listen to me, church. I'm going to be strong for a few minutes. But church giving is down. Church involvement is down. And in 2024, it gets less and less and less. And everything else is more and more and more. We have been convinced that we don't need the God piece in our lives. In fact, we've been so convinced that the best way to say it is like we have God and we go, okay, we'll put Him on a shelf. And God will stay there. And whenever I need Him, I'll just go pull Him off. I'm going to continue to do everything else. I'm going to pursue all these other things because you know what? God's just on the shelf. He'll always be there. I can always go back and I'll just pull Him off the shelf whenever I'm in those times of life, then I need Him. And hear me this morning. That's what the world wants you to pursue, this casual view of God. Like He doesn't care. He's just a good old guy in the sky and I can pull Him out. If I can just entertain myself with the world and what they have to offer, that will make me happy. But if it ever doesn't, guess what? God will still be waiting on the shelf and I can just pull Him off. That's what the world wants to send you to. Listen, you don't believe me. Let me give you a quick example. Real true numbers in our world today. Check this out. Number one here, people see roughly 5,000 ads per day. There are 5.3 trillion display ads shown online every year. Get this. On average, children see 20,000 30-second commercials each year. To contrary that, adults see an average of 2 million of these commercials on a yearly basis. It is bombarding your life. Get more. Pursue more. Buy more. Right? It's what you need. You have to have it. And if you get these things, you will find fulfillment. Go all in because these things will make you happy if you go after them. And it's funny, right? Because as a pastor, like it's funny to me because then people get upset when once or twice a year the church talks about tithing or how to manage God's finances. And people say, the church shouldn't talk about that. We should just stay away from it. It's not the place of the church. And listen to me, I just want you to live a life full of a little more joy than what you're currently pursuing, right? And so I'm going to contrast this morning. I'm going to combat the 2 million advertisements that you've already seen this year. And so no matter how many of those things you get in your life, I'm telling you this morning, it will not satisfy you. It will not bring satisfaction to your life. So let's don't make life about everything else. Let's simplify our life and let's make it about God. So I'm going to say all that to say this one phrase to you, and I want you to get this morning because it's important. I say all that to say this one thing. God does not want us guilty, but He does want us responsible. God does not want us guilty, but He does want us responsible. You have some great things. Awesome. God's happy for that. God's probably blessed you with it. That's good. Some of you are involved in so many other things. Wonderful. That's awesome. All those things are good. God doesn't want you guilty, but He does want us aware and responsible. Like, what has He given us, and what's the purpose for it? Why do you have it? So let me give us quickly this morning some steps to simplify your life. So some steps I want to give you that will simplify your life so that you're able to be the resource that God wants you to be. You're able to serve the way God wants you to serve. And these are challenges personally that I have been wrestling with over these last few weeks. So I'm in this game with you. So let me give you some quick steps this morning to simplify your life. How about this one, number one? How about we accept the reality that Jesus strongly warns us against the pursuit of wealth and status? He warns us again. Like, there's this really weird teaching out there that says Jesus is cool with you getting rich and stockpiling everything you have. Like this prosperity gospel, like, well, if you just give more, then God will bless you. I always think it's funny because God will only bless you if you give somebody else something. That's just kind of off base a little bit. That's not who God is. I believe that God wants you to be blessed. Absolutely. I believe that he wants you to prosper in every way possible. But there is no way that is supposed to be the pursuit of our lives, to get more. Jesus, all throughout Scripture, you know that he never condemned the poor? He never condemned the poor, but he always condemned the pursuing of wealth. He would make statements like he did in Matthew 16, where he says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Right? People are exchanging things. Well, they bought a big house, they exchanged. They bought a big business, they've involved themselves and everything else. They've saved lots of money, they planned for their retirement, but they've missed out on what matters most. They didn't simplify their life and make it all about God. And it scares me at that the amount of things that people are giving in exchange for their souls. The relationships that we're giving in exchange for our souls, the resources we give in exchange for our souls. People are giving some pretty stupid things away in exchange for their souls. People are giving some things away in exchange, like their time. Well, I'm going to exchange my time for my soul. I'm going to exchange serving. I'm going to exchange unforgiveness. I'm going to exchange money. We're just exchanging everything else. And God says to him, hey, why would you do that? Exchange all these things for your soul, which what really matters. Jesus went on, he says it in Luke. He said another statement. He says, no servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Like, what is going to be your pursuit? What's the Lord of your life? What is the master? Because you can't have them both. You have to choose one or another. There was this young man in the Bible who came to Jesus one time, and he said, hey, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus tells him, hey, listen, here's what you're going to do. You need to obey the commands. And there was like 10 of them, right? The 10 commandments. And so this guy's like, hey, awesome, no problem. I've done that since I was a child. I've got this. I'm in. Yeah, he's awesome. And you would think that this guy would be the poster child, the shoe-in for what it means to be a disciple. But hear me. He says these things, and we don't hear about this guy anywhere else for the rest. This was his only encounter, and we don't hear anything else about his story. Because Jesus turns to him and says in Mark 10, look, Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. And he says, one thing you lack, guy. He said, why don't you go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And you may sit here and think, well, is that what it takes, Pastor? We have to just get rid of everything and live in a shack? No, that's not what. Of course not. That's not what this means. But Jesus understood his heart. He understood his heart. Jesus understood what was going on inside of the man. And the man wanted God, like many of us. He wanted God, but he also wanted God, and he wanted the things of this world. He wanted both. And Jesus says, or the book, Mark tells us this, at this, when Jesus said this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He walked away frustrated, angry, and upset, and we never hear about him again throughout the Scriptures, because he chose wealth over following God. And Jesus strongly warns us about this. And by the way, I want to say this here. I don't think, because this is preached all the time, I don't think that this man went away sad because he had great wealth. That's what we hear all the time. Well, he went away sad because he was so rich. I don't think he went away sad because he had great wealth. I think he went away sad because great wealth had him. Great wealth had him. It's not about wealth. It's about what has you. So there's a difference. So then Jesus turns to his disciples and he looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And I would say this, no matter if you're wealthy in the room or middle class or you have no wealth, it is very hard to pursue the things of this world and pursue a relationship with God. We have to make the decision. And the easiest way to do that decision is to simplify your life. I wrote down this way, wealth can be a part of your life, but wealth should not be the pursuit of your life. Be part of it, it's not the pursuit. And that's the problem we make. This is what my life is all about. Paul goes on and he writes this very strong statement to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. And he says this, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Like this is heavy, heavy language, like being straight in their face. And he goes on to write this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many, many griefs. Guys, it's crazy. Like I've met some of the wealthiest people, and I've also met some of the most very poorest people. And I have found that some of the most unhappiest people that I personally met are some of the wealthiest people in the world. And you'd have to ask, well, why is that? Don't you have everything you need? Because you finally get what the world has to offer and it still doesn't satisfy our lives. So I just think whether it's money, whether it's acceptance, whether it's accolades, whether it's stuff that you want to inquire, we need to be warned about what we are pursuing. And Jesus was strong in his warning. What are you pursuing in this world? Number two, let me give this one. Number step, if you want to simplify your life, I love this one. How about we always examine your motives? Always examine your motives. Like, why do I really need something? Why am I looking for this? Why is this so important to me? What does this do for me? I wrote down this way, am I pursuing this? This is our rubric for us. Am I pursuing this for its usefulness or rather for its status? Like the things we buy, the things we do, the things we say, the things we pursue, why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? It's either for one thing or the other. It's either for its usefulness or it's for a status. And like Kim and I have had conversations throughout our marriage, throughout our leadership, even when we raise our kids. Like, are we doing this because it makes us look good? Because it adds status to us? What is our motive? And this is what the world is trying to do to Christians, church. It's the lust of the flesh. It's the lust of the eyes. It's the pride of life. How does this make me look? How am I perceived? What will other people think about me? And these are things that drive us as followers of Christ. I remember showing up to preach at a church as a young guy working for our district, and it was a larger church and from a different background of cultures. And I remember walking in the parking lot and meeting a guy, and he says, this guy right here will not leave your side. He's going to go everywhere you go. He's going to walk with you. He wants to carry your Bible for you and carry your notes. He's going to, you know, I remember sitting in the office and he would stand like this outside the office. He would stand with me at the front of the stage and like anyone want to come around, they were like, get away, get away. And I'm like, I want to take you home with me. And they're like, this was awesome. And like as a young guy, I'm like feeling this overwhelming sense of status. And I thought to myself, but that's not my pursuit. That's not who I want to be. What does it take for us to feel important? Someone listens to your gossip or your opinions. Well, that makes me feel important. Like I've had people in the church say, well, if you don't do this certain thing, I'm no longer going to tithe. Or if the church doesn't do this, we are taking our tithe with us. And I'm like, I didn't know it was your tithe. I didn't know it belonged to you. I thought it belonged to God. In fact, David writes this incredible prayer when he says in Psalms, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Can I say to you, that is a scary prayer. God, search me, know my heart. We want to live a simplified life. Ask God daily, would you search me? Would you know my heart? What is the motive behind the things that I pursue? What is the real reason that I commit to the things that I commit to? There's a famous missionary, his name was David Livingstone, and this guy had it all. If he would have just stayed in England, and he had such status, and he had such important things, but his heart belonged to the country of Africa, and he evaluated everything through that motive, and he made this amazing statement. He said this, I place no value on anything I possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. He pays no value on anything except in the relation to the kingdom of God. In other words, what he's saying is this: my motive for anything, I'm asking questions like, does it accelerate the kingdom of God? And I would say to us this morning, do your motives elevate your family closer to God? Do your motives build the church? Do your motives bring you closer to God? Do your motives make Jesus famous? Because we got to constantly be asking God, search my heart, search my motives. Like, I'm going to make my life bigger than just me. Why? Because I'm part of a bigger kingdom. You and I, we live with an urgency because we live with an eternal perspective. And you may say, well, that's not easy to hear. That's not easy to practice. And I would say to you, great, because we need to be stretched in this area. What am I doing this for? Can I say to you, I believe in the church today, we are far more materialistic than we are Christians. Far more materialistic than we are Christian. This is mine and it's my precious. I'm keeping it with me. And the world, hear me, church, is working overtime, complicating our lives. It's working overtime, trying to complicate your life. And we wonder, why are we so stressed out? And we wonder, why are we so depressed? We have to simplify our lives, question our motives. Let me give you a third step real quick. Third step is this. How about this one? How about refuse to be conned into the latest and the greatest? Man, church, I'm just going to get practical with you for a minute. Refuse to be conned into the latest and the greatest. I remember when this happened to me, like not too long ago, I saw an advertisement for the newest iPhone was out. And I was like all excited. Like, I need that. Look what it can do. Like, I have to have this. Like, how am I surviving without the newest iPhone? It's impossible. So I went and got the newest one. And I opened it up and I started using it. And then I realized immediately, I was like, this is the exact same iPhone as I had before. Like, I don't know if it's doing anything different than what the other one did. Like, the only difference between this one and the old one is the old one was paid for and this one I have to pay for. This is a big difference. I mean, I got conned. Parents, your kids con you. I need this. I have to have this. If I don't have this, life is over. My friends will walk away. I'll lose it all. And you know what we do? We give in. We're conned. Some of your kids are like 30 and you're still giving in to them. You get conned. And it's like, we have to have this or we will suffer. Look what Hebrews writes it this way. I love it. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And look what it says. And be content. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. You know why he's saying you could be content? Because he's God. He knows your desires. He knows your cravings, and you can be satisfied with him and you can know that he will never leave you or forsake you. And there is contentment in that. You don't have to keep moving back and forth trying to find the next thing to bring satisfaction into your life. Like satisfaction, you can find that in God. In fact, again, Paul writes to Timothy, look what he says, I love it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And look what he says, for we brought nothing into the world. But beyond that, we can take nothing out of it. None of it. Your barn full of stuff will stay there when you're gone. It will. Like, I know this is probably not going to be the most shared message on our Facebook page. I get it. Mainly because we typically don't like to hear things like, hey, simplify your life and things like that. But listen to me, Christian Life Center. We need it. He goes on to write in Timothy. He says this, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with what we have. We'll be content with what we have. And so here's how I apply that to my life. I'll give you just a one-liner. It's simply this. How about this? Pray before you pay. Now, pray before you pay. Now, I'm not necessarily just talking about money, but I mean the decisions you make in life, like whether it be a purchase, whether it's an area you're thinking of committing to, whether it's signing your kid up for the next great extracurricular activity or something like that. How about we pray before we pay? If you are under 25 in the room today, can I just talk to you for 1 second? Can I encourage you, and maybe it fits all of us in the room, but can I say to you, fight impulsive decisions. Fight impulsive. This will save you the next 10 years of your life. Like financial planners or those in FPU know this, but you and I have to avoid, you can deal with it in later scheme. You can deal with it later part of your life. You can deal with it in later schemes. People used to say to me all the time, like, well, you know, the people, kids are, they're leaving the church. 20-somethings are leaving the church, and they would say to me, well, you know what, don't worry, they'll be back. That's what they said to me. Well, they'll be back when they get out in the real world, and they'll be back to the church. And I'm like, yeah, you know what, they'll be back. But you know what they'll be back with? Their failed marriages. They'll be back with their debt. They'll be back with their hurts. Like, why would we wait for them to come back when we can reach them now? Like, we got to be those people that say, listen, let's help people navigate life. Like, fight impulsive desires in areas of your life. Because Timothy tells us it's a trap. It's a trap. For all of us, we are either slaves to Christ or we're slaves to the world. One or the other. You can't have both. And we make the decision, who does my life belong to? Am I a slave to Christ or am I a slave to this world? Simplify your life. Let me give you the fourth step real quick. Simplify your life. How about we do this? We develop a habit of giving things away. Ooh, somebody just said, listen, you're hurting my marketplace account on Facebook. Some of us sell a piece of string for a dollar, right? How about we develop, because we love the mighty dollar. But what if we lived a life of radical generosity? Like I've learned this, and Kim, my wife, has helped me. We aren't perfect, but we try to live a life of generosity. And generosity is not just money. Generosity with your time, with your resources, with your knowledge. Generosity with the things that you have. And it's our hope that when we see a need, we can ask, how can I help, right? Listen, I'm going to be very transparent. But just for us at church, I'm going to bring it home. Like just the last 2 weeks, I stood on the stage and I said, listen, we have a need in our church. We have a benevolent need. Would you be willing to come alongside and help us? Literally, maybe $500 has come in. Maybe. I'm not saying this to shame you. It's not about that. It's not a shame. It's not a guilt thing. But what I would say is this, like my life, and I know, like many of your lives, God has blessed us. God has blessed us. And when we live a generosity, when you live at generosity, it reveals something. Listen to me. I don't believe, church, I don't believe you're ever more like God than when you give. You are more like God when you give. You think, well, when I worship, when I pray, when I do. No, you're more like God when you give. And when you give generously and sacrificially. You know why? Because God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. We walk in generosity. Like the Bible says it in Matthew 10, it reminds us, freely you have received, freely give. And hear me, we got to get better at this. I don't care what the economy says. I don't care about inflation. How many know none of that equates to the revenue in the kingdom of God? None of it does. We need to get better. It says someone's struggling at the grocery store. Pay for it. When you're random acts of kindness, a mom buying formula and diapers, pay for it. Like, I just think that CLC has the capacity to be known as the most generous place in this whole area of Montana. Like, simply because that's what God, the way that God has designed us to live. So here's the fact for you. I wrote down this way. Some of you are not going to like me after this one. I've asked the board not to let you leave the building after I say this, but here we go. Most of us could get rid of half of our possessions without any serious sacrifice. Right? Some of you are running. Like, why did we come to church today, man? We could have floated the river. Maybe not. Listen, you could simplify your life a lot more. Like, my wife is notorious for, like, secretly cleaning things out and giving them away. Like, notorious. Like, I walk in, like, hey, you remember that shirt? Oh, yeah, I gave it away. I'm like, come on. It was my favorite. She's like, you didn't ever wear it. Gave it away. Like, just notorious for that. And I'm just challenging all of us. We can walk in better generosity than what we're doing right now. Like, I'm going to give you a phrase. I think a phrase that I came up with for us to live by. And it's simply, I love this phrase. If more people would live simply, other people would simply live. Other people would simply live. Like, I give above and beyond. I am more generous. And hear me, can I encourage you, church, in this new season that we're walking in, everything's changing in our world, but in this new season, can I encourage you, don't make income goals, make generosity goals. Make generosity goals. Like, find ways to give and go beyond. Like, hear me, church, you don't want to hear this, but if you're not tithing, if you're not giving 10% of your income, start honoring God with your finances. And I'm telling you, watch what will start happening in your life. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's just difficult right now for us, man. We just got a lot going on. And you know what I would say to you? Simplify your life. Simplify your life. Trust God with your life. Like, you won't know how it happens, but hear me, and people can attest to this, but God will bless your life. He will bless your life. What you think is impossible will become possible because you honored God with your life through your finances. Hear me this morning. Do you know this is the only scripture that God says to test him in your finances? It's the only scripture throughout the Bible where God says, test me in this. He says, test me. See if I won't throw open the windows of heaven when you start to give. When you start to tithe. Like, God is faithful to his word. And if you don't give at 10% right now, if you don't give to the church at all, can I just encourage you, test God. Test God and see what he does in your life. See if he won't bless you, because I believe he will. I love how Winston Churchill said this statement. It's awesome. He says this, you make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. So many people are about get. Make it about what you give today, and I believe it will change your life. Let me give you the last step this morning. Last one. I love it. If we're going to simplify our lives, what if we pursued a greater legacy instead of a greater lifestyle? Like, this is the conversation I'm having constantly with myself, with God. Like, am I giving, going after lifestyle, or am I going after legacy? Because lifestyle is so much about what the world has to offer. Like, lifestyle to me is short term, but how many know legacy is long term? Like, lifestyle is earthly, legacy is eternal. Lifestyle is about stuff, legacy is about people. Lifestyle is about fun, legacy is about true joy. And I want us here to be building a legacy that will go far beyond us. I wrote down this way, my legacy is the sum total of my pursuits, not the sum total of my purchases. Like, your legacy will not be about what you have, what you don't have. You know what your legacy is going to be about? What did I pursue? What did I go after? And I just want us to be that place where we live in such a way that my pursuit is in what matters. Because the world is going to be pulling at us. They're going to tell us what's more important. They're going to tell you what to believe in. And God's saying, listen, I have a whole other pursuit for you. Like, we are going to build our lives on something. Something has your attention. Something has your time. Something has your dreams. Something has your emotions. And I just ask you, what is it? I brought this illustration today to kind of close this out, to illustrate this morning. I brought this aquarium, and I want this aquarium to represent your life. This is you. And what it also represents, not just you, but it represents your capacity. Like, what can you hold? How much can your life absorb? How much can it take in? And here's what we do, what we often do with our life. If this is my life and this is my capacity, how many know we are so great at finding so many things to fill it with? Man, if I could just have more of this, if I could just have more of that, man, if I could just gain this, if I get more friends and I get more stuff, and I just continue to fill my capacity with stuff. And we're like, no, wait, that's not even enough. I got more I want to fill my life with. Like, what's wrong? I need 4 cars, right? 5,000 vacation homes. Eat out every night. I mean, I just need to fill my life with everything. I need to involve myself. I need to involve my kids in everything. I mean, I just need to fill my life with as much stuff as possible. But then there's other things that come your way, like you have responsibilities, like you want to care for your family, and that's important. You have work, and you got to do that, and you got those things, and you got your self care that you care about. You want to care about that, and all these other things that are important that you need to fill your life with. But here's the problem. Then you come to CLC and you come to our church and you hear this really good-looking man up here talk to you. And he's like, he's telling you, hey, you know what, church? Make God your number one priority. I'm saying to you, hey, make him your pursuit. Make your life about him. And so like, okay, I hear this pastor and he's telling me, make God priority. Make him number one. Oh, man. He's got to fit in here somewhere. Somewhere God will fit. I don't know. I don't know. Well, we'll find a place. But not only is God telling, not only is this pastor telling you, hey, make God a priority, make him number one. Then this pastor comes to you and says, hey, not only that, I believe this. You were created on purpose and for a purpose, right? And so you are called to ministry. God has a purpose and he has a will for you. You're called to serve people and serve others. And so you do that. Oh, yes, right? And you're like, okay, I want to do it. I'm all in. I have purpose. God has purpose. Somewhere I can try to fit God and all that he has for me somewhere in there. But you know what? I got all this stuff. And Jesus steps on the scene and he says to us, he gives us this thing. And Jesus addressed your life that is so consumed that there's no room for him. And he says this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, not about your body, what will you put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And then Jesus gives us this incredible solution. And look what he says. Life is more than all this stuff that you have. He says instead, what does he say? Seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. Seek his kingdom, and all these other things will be given to you. So what is, he gives us a whole different perspective about your life. He changes the game. He says, okay, so hey, here's what we're gonna do. Make me priority one. I'm gonna be number one. And so you say, here's my life, here's my capacity. If I put God priority, I make him number one. He's telling us to do that. And then he's like, oh, ministry, all these other things, you don't need to worry about it. Like, I have some plans and purpose for your life. Just add that. Make that a priority to your life. Serving the church, giving the church, giving it to me. Make that a priority. And you put that in the capacity of your life. And then you have all these other things, right? Like your family, which is really important, yourself, your job. I mean, all these other things that are really, really important. And so, okay, great. Add those things to your life. But seek me first. Make me number one. But then you add all these other things to your life, and it fits really nice. And then what does he say? Once seek God first, and I love it. What does he say? Then all these other things will be added to your life. Like, check this out. All these other things will be added to your life. Isn't it really, really amazing? Thank you, Patrick. Get it all in there. Isn't it really, really amazing that when God's the priority, everything else seems to fit? Isn't it amazing, like, if everything else is the priority, there just doesn't seem to be room for God? But when God is the priority, because Jesus told us that, if you seek me first, all these other things will be added to you. And how many know we've got it so backwards? It's all the other things that are the most important. And we're trying to make God and life fit in all the other things. And God's like, hey man, if you seek me first, it's not that you have to live a very miserable life. It's not that you have to live a life of nothing. What he's saying is, seek me first and all these other things will be added to you. And that's the life that God's called us to live. With the leftover, with the spare, like what we couldn't do, he's able to bring it all together. All these things are added to you. And I'm a firm believer. I've said it from day one that if we put him first, when you honor him first, eventually all those other things that you want so badly will be added to your life. They'll be added to you. You don't have to go without. And how is that possible? Because we put God first. How is that possible? Because we honored God first. How is that possible? Because we pursue God first. When you honor him, God says, you know what? When you honor me, I'm going to honor you. When you honor me, I'm going to bless you. And that's the God that we serve. Simplify your life. Would you stand with me this morning as we close out? Listen, I want to challenge you in this moment. We're just going to worship for one second. And I want to challenge you in this moment, right? Let's make this a sacrifice moment in your life. Like God, we give you our lives. We give you our future. Like, we give you our stuff. And we put you first. And Lord, as we put you first, we don't have to worry. We don't have to live in fear, because all these other things will be added to us this morning. Come on, let's worship him for how good he is this morning.
Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me.
Examine us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would be those men and women who make the simplified life that says, I'm going to put God first, like in my speech, in my actions, in my finances, in the things that I do, in my commitment levels. It's all going to be you first. And as we do that, God, everything else will be added unto us. Pray, God, we've been trying to stuff faith in the midst of our life instead of letting our life infect our faith. And I pray that that would be a moment for us today to examine our lives, to say, God, we just want to make the decision today to pursue God first, to simplify our lives. Real quickly this morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning, I want to give you this opportunity, not to embarrass anyone, but right where you're sitting, and man, maybe your step of fitting God into your life, simplifying your life, is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To say, God, I'm committing my life 100% to you. And then everything else can be added to you. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that's you this morning, we're not going to embarrass you right where you're sitting this morning. But if you want to make that statement, like, I need to make God first, I need to commit my life to him, right where you are this morning, would you just put your hand up and put it down? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands everywhere. Come on. Lord, you are good. And I pray, Lord, there are men and women in this room who raise their hand and say, God, I want to put you first. I want to commit my life to you. And I do that right now. Lord, all we have to do, whether if you're one of those people that raised your hand or you didn't, right where you're sitting right now, it's as simple as just saying this right there where you're sitting. God, I put you first. God, come into my life. I need you. Help me, Lord Father, to pursue you. Lord, forgive me of the areas that I have failed you. And help me, Lord, to not let my life dictate you, but to allow you to dictate my life. I pursue you from this moment on, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every decision that needs to be made, every person that walks through things. Lord, may we make the decisions, Lord, to say, hey, I'm going to do the difficult things so that God can do the impossible things. And so we love you today for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give it up to the Lord this morning? Come on. Listen, I'm going to ask you not to move for a second. I just want to say something to you before you start checking out and leaving me. We are in the middle of 100 days of faith. And one of the areas that God deposited in my heart when we first started 100 faith is, God, what do you want to do here inside our physical place? We need to steward this place. And so part of our 100 days of faith is I'm just taking a step out in faith to say, God, we need to raise some funds to do some things around here in our building. One of those things, for example, is we want to put, believe it or not, new carpet throughout this whole sanctuary, right? I'm tired of looking at horns, all right? So I moved the chairs out the other day for the set, and you can literally see the darkness where your feet sit, okay? We need to do that. So what you're going to do before, when you walk out the door, we have some ushers that are going to be handing you a booklet. And in that booklet, you can open it up, and it's going to show you examples. We have a really good designer in here of what this place, our building, could look like with some of the things that we need to do. And we've tiered it. What we'd like to do, we set a goal of $100,000 for tier one. If we could raise $100,000, there's some incredible things, and you'll see it in the booklet that we can do. If we raise more, we can do more, but you'll see it all laid out there for you. And I want to encourage you over these next 100 days, can we do the impossible? Raise those funds and just dress this place up, not because we like status, but I believe that when you do excellence, it tells people you value them. And I want people to walk in and say, man, this place values people, right? Come on. We value people. And we value you. We want you to have a place to worship and be awesome in. So there, grab one of those before you leave today and pray over it. God, how would you have me come alongside? If you do want to give online to that, there's a drop down that says 100 Days of Faith. You can put in building on an envelope or however you want to do that. But we're going to be doing that over the next month, just raising those funds. I want to encourage you to pray about that. How would God have you come alongside of us? So that's awesome. Last thing I'll say, if you want prayer this morning, we have a prayer team right over here. Maybe you were one of those people that raised your hand. We'd love to just talk, say hi with you real quick, pray with you, and do that. If you do have anything you're walking through, you just need prayer, we have a wonderful prayer team that's here for you. Other than that, grab a brochure when you leave, and we hope to see you Wednesday or next week, all right? God bless you. Have a great Sunday.
Life Center Weekly Podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.